If you have your Fundamentals of the Faith book, it can only help. We're looking at chapter 2. I'll let you know if I open it up or read any of those quotes or verses. But excited to have such a great time on summer camp. Thanks for coming and being a part of that. There's a lot more summer left. We're just getting going. Excited about the Fundamentals of the Faith study. And today we're talking about how to know the Bible. Chapter 2, How to Know the Bible. Last Sunday, we did the introduction to the Bible. And so we talked about how the Bible is the Word of God and what that means to us and how we know that it's the Word of God. So if you missed that lesson, I'd encourage you to go online and to listen to that. Or you can go to the Grace to You one. The website's in the book. And you can listen to John MacArthur's, but because the Bible is the Word of God, it is our authority. It is our blueprint. It is our roadmap. It is our light. So we know where to go and how to go. And it's amazing that God gives us this message right here. And today's world is interesting and unique. You receive messages all the time, unless, you don't have a phone, then maybe you don't, but you get text messages or you get DMs or you get whatever the kids are getting these days. And you get kind of excited about some of them, right? Some of you might go, ooh, what do I do with that? But you're like, oh, my friend messaged me. They must love me. And then you just message all day. Well, here you have God himself has given you his message. He's given you his book. So you know what to do. You know what not to do. You know who to trust and who not to trust. It's all right here. But how well do you know the Bible? All right. And it's a simple process, right? How do you know anything? How do you know anything? You spend time on it. Okay. You spend time on it. What about your subject at school? You think of something boring like English. All right. Some of you like English. You do. So you read the weird books and stuff like that, and you like writing the papers and all of those things. But if you want to know that subject, you actually have to what? Show up to the class. And you have to pay attention when the teacher is talking. And you have to do the assignments. Now, there's fantastic classes like history that are riveting, all right? They're riveting. It just draws you in, and you want more and more and more, all right? And in history, you just sit there, and they talk, and you remember. It's awesome, all right? Some of you like it the math. Well, how do you like it the math? How do you get better at it? Well, you do boring homework and stuff like that. And then you realize, oh, wait, it's all on my phone and a calculator. I didn't need this after all. But if there's a subject that you like, well, how do you know it more? How do you get better at it? How do you get more proficient? Some of you are going to want to be engineers and architects, and you're going to end up being cosmetologists and, you know, stuff like that. And you got to work hard and go to class. You got to learn. Well, that's how you know that subject. What about your friends? Just talking about how do you know your friends? Well, you spend time with them. If you don't spend time with them or you don't talk with them, are they really your friends? But some friends you know better than other friends. Maybe you just pay more attention to them, or they live closer to you, or you go to the same school and you're in the same circles. That's how you know them, all right? That's how you know them. I don't know if you always read from the same Bible. You know, I have a couple of different Bibles stashed across the campus, okay? I don't teach from the same Bible. I don't do my counseling from the same Bible. I even have a car Bible. So when I go do a devotion at FCA or something like that, but you might have a Bible that you like to mark or, you know, whatever the kids do these days, but you kind of start remembering where numbers are on the page. You know, your mind starts getting used to flipping and stuff like that. If someone handed you a brand new crisp Bible, you could never find the book of Leviticus, but in yours, you know it like that. The familiarity of holding something and looking at something and paying attention to something, well, that's how we know it. That's how we know it. And I want to start our lesson with Psalm 19. And Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. That is what we call general revelation. Creation is screaming out, there is a God, there is a creator. And when we look at it, it makes us go, wow. But we need that special revelation, which is revealed through Jesus, which is his word of God, that lets us know about salvation and lets us know more about him. Look at verse 7. Here it's called the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so you say, okay, I want my soul restored. I don't want to be simple. I want to be wise. Well, it's right here in the Bible. It's not complicated. It's not a mystery. It's right here. The precepts of the Lord are right. Well, those precepts, which is another synonym for the word of God, what do? Rejoice the heart. Rejoice the heart. Do you want joy? Do you want peace? Where are you trying to find it? Where are you trying to get it? It's right here in the word of God. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. And here we go. This, I can deal with this. I can relate to this. I got two choices. Bible, a pot of gold. Bible, pot of gold. Come on, how many of y'all chased that rainbow when you were a kid? Because you thought that body, oh, you can admit to it. It's okay. You pursued that baby. We would go far, far. We never found the end of the rainbow. We know, and of course, there's no pot of gold. Bible or gold? Some of you are choosing trash over Bible. You should be choosing Bible even over the most valuable thing here on earth. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you are a Christian, you love Jesus, you love his word. And it is a lifelong pursuit and joy to know the Bible more. There's never a point where you go, ah, I got it, God. You read it, and as you grow in Christ, you want to read it more. You love it more. It reveals more to you, all right? I've been reading the Bible a long time, and I'll read something in Proverbs, and I'm like, ah, why didn't I ever know that? Well, no, I've read it before, but maybe my heart wasn't in the right place to accept the truth, or maybe there was so much data in that chapter that I didn't hone in on it, all right? But when I read the Bible and I read the Bible and I read the Bible, it reminds me, okay? It reminds me. And even in the Old Testament, you're like, oh, the Old Testament. You read about how someone does something really stupid and you're like, well, that was stupid. And then you think of your life and you're like, I did the same stupid thing just thousands of years later. When we read, it makes us go, well, this person chose sin. And how did it work out for them? Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm not going to choose sin. I'm going to choose the right thing. Well, this person in the Bible chose the right thing, and it worked out for them. So what am I going to do in my life? But you know what we need? We need those reminders. We need those reminders over and over and over again. How do we get those reminders? By reading. You're not going to read it one time and have it memorized. You read it and you pursue it and you long for it and you learn from it. And who God is, you learn a little bit more. A little bit more over and over. So I guess I just want to start with this question of, you know, what is your attitude towards the word? Does the thought of sitting here and listen to a lesson, is it just something you want done? You just want it over with? Is the idea of opening up the Bible on your own and reading it something that you doesn't even cross your mind until your small group leader says, what have you been reading? If that's your attitude towards God's word, that's your attitude towards Jesus, people. The one who lived and died for you, that's your attitude towards him. But if you love Jesus, we still struggle at times to do the difficult thing. We struggle to be disciplined. It's a lifelong struggle, but it's a beautiful pursuit. And here we go. How do I know the Bible? And there's nothing here that's rocket science. Number one, hear it. Hear it. And this is one of the lessons I was like, look, I don't want to just steal the outline from the chapter. And so I jotted down my outline, and then I opened the chapter. And I'm like, oh, it's going to look like I stole it. Because that's just what it is. I need to hear it. All right, flip with me to Ephesians 4. Where do I see this in Scripture that I need to hear it? Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And so the apostles and the prophets, those giftedness were the foundation of the church. And those gifts have gone away. But you know, there's a little bit debate on the evangelists, if that's still a gift or if that was a special one. But you know, we still have pastors and teachers. Well, what do we have them for? Why are they here? Why does every church need a pastor? Why does a church need teachers? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. You are in the Lord's army, and we need to teach you how to live, how to fight, how to endure, how to survive, so that you can then go do the work of the Lord. To the building up of the body of Christ. We're a body, right? That's how it gets built up. Until when? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but instead speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth for the body, for the building up of itself in love. The pastor, the teacher, teaches the word. We get together every Sunday. We have the pleasure of getting together just about every Wednesday as well. And we teach the word. Why does our youth group do this? I'm sorry. Not a lot of youth groups do this. Not a lot of youth groups are talking about the fundamentals of the faith. Not a lot of the youth groups are having a boring lesson time, because that's not relative. That's not how you get people in. They're designed to treat you like fools. We need some youth here. What are we going to do? Well, let's have some great music. And throw some food at them, and that'll get them in. Let's have fun. They treat you like you are dumb. We want to teach you the word of God, because I don't got much else, okay? But I can say this is what the Bible says, and this is what you need. And I know that it's hard sometimes to sit there and to listen and to engage your mind. You have so much going on in life. But it is the best thing for you to sit and to listen, to take notes. We're trying to teach you the very word of God. And our desire as we teach it is that we just don't give you a fish to eat for a day. Fish. But we teach you how to fish yourself so that you can read it and understand it. Flip over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, remember the teaser to the right. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Paul, to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Don't you love that? Look, Timothy is the pastor of a church in Ephesus. And as a pastor, okay, well, I need people in my church. Part of it, right? And pastors can tend to water things down, or if I shorten that lesson, or if I just kind of tell some funny stories and I get people in, well, then I'll get more people. And that means I'm successful, right? And my church is successful. And Paul says in verse 1, I charge you. You're in the presence of God, buddy. You're in the presence of Jesus Christ, and he's the one that's going to judge the living and the dead. You better preach the word. I don't care if they don't like the message. I don't care if they don't want to listen. I don't care if they get mad at you for calling out and confronting their sin. You preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That's what you do. That's what the church does. And so that means the audience, the body, needs to be ready to hear it, so that you can know it. Unfortunately, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And I've probably shared this with you before, but my senior year for football, the first scrimmage, they asked me to pray for the team. You know how many times that lasted? Once. I did not pray for us to win. Nathan and I already knew that was going to happen. Okay. I prayed that the Lord would be pleased to save the unbeliever from the fiery pits of hell. They fired me, and they got a dude that would tickle their ear and pump them up and tell them how much Jesus wants us to win. It's just what it is. There's churches everywhere, but most of these churches are not teaching the word, or they're teaching rubbish, because that's what people want. That's what they want, and it is so sad. Don't let that be you. It says in verse 5, but you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's what it is, guys. The pastor, the pastors, the teachers of the church are to study and love and live the word. And they're to teach it. And you're supposed to come here to learn and to grow from it. The end goal is your own growth in Christ, but then also that you would help other people grow in Christ, and that we would go out and we would share the gospel so that others would come to know Christ. And this isn't exclusive to the New Testament. In Nehemiah, remember Nehemiah was the rebuilding of the walls, all right? It says that they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Back then, not everybody had a Bible on their phone. They didn't have phones, by the way. They didn't all have a copy of God's word. So they would come together, and for hours they would stand there and they would read the word. Oh, man, yeah, read it again. And then they would have those that would come and they would explain the word. Explain the word. Now, I ask myself, how can I hear it? How can I hear it? There's some easy answers. For instance, there's a lot of podcasts. I don't know how to do those things, but I hear people have podcasts and stuff like that. You can listen to Christian radio. I was really excited that Lance, when he was talking about Martin Lloyd-Jones, that all of his sermons are on a podcast. I've listened through some of his before. They're really cool to hear. We love it. All right. So you can go to good content, to good material. You can go to people outside of our church and you can listen. All right. Now, with that, you have to be careful. Is this actually a good teacher? Is this someone that is expositing the text well? Is this someone that we would say, we need to be listening to? But the real answer is to show up on Sunday. To show up on Sunday. And we as teachers, we put in the work, we listen, we read, we pray, we study, and you get the advantage of all of our time and effort and energy, because then we take it and we condense that to a lesson, and then we bring it to you so that you can understand the book of John more. Okay? The main service. I don't think y'all really appreciate Pastor Tom as you should. Okay? He is, you know, he travels the world teaching other people how to teach. I mean, that's what he does. I call it, he's a surgeon. The way he handles the text and understands the text and outlines the text, you know, he applies it. We take that for granted, okay? Go in with that attitude of, I want to learn. I want to grow. Right here, you have lots of teachers. If you're looking for more, the adult Sunday schools have a lot of great teachers and their lessons are online. Or you can go ahead and start listening to the college groups' lessons and stuff like that. There is no shortage of content. It's a matter of, am I going to tune my heart to hear, to listen? Am I going to make sure that I orchestrate my life to be here? Are you going to be here? Are you going to show up? Are you going to make that a priority? So hear it. Secondly, read it. And you're like, oh, duh. Well, yeah, I know, but you got to do it. You got to read it, right? And if we ask ourselves, where do we see this in Scripture? Okay, well, where do you not see it in Scripture? Whether you're looking at 2 Timothy 2:15 or Joshua 1:8 or, you know, on and on and on. Psalm 119, 97 through 104, the beauty and the riches of reading God's word. And I think, Christian, that you're here saying, I want to do it. I want to read it. All right? And some of you, you're having daily consistent patterns of reading. You are. Okay, keep that up. Keep going. All right? It never gets easier. You always have to set that time. All right? You always have to dedicate to it. All right? Maximize. And we'll talk about how to maximize that time, but keep going with it. All right? For the rest of you, if I asked you, how'd you do in your time in the Word last week? You're like, ask away. I was on camp. You forced me to. Ask me about Proverbs. Anything. Bring it. Okay, well, now you're back from camp. Or what if you were not on camp? And I don't want to be legalistic about it where, you know, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. It's good to read every day. That's helpful. You'll notice in our reading plan, we assume that you're coming to youth and to church. So we use that as kind of a bit of a catch-up day, not like the catch-up, you know, catching up type of thing. But for the most part, that's pretty good that you should be reading every day, okay? And just some tips. If you haven't done this already, you really need to think through. Take your calendar out. Find a consistent time. A consistent time. And first thing when you wake up, that's helpful because you know that's what you're committing to. I'm not going to think about anything else the rest of the day. I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to read. I'm going to make sure that I do it. Because if you don't, there's often excuses that kind of pile in, okay? All right, for some of you, when you roll out of bed at noon, just boom, go over and grab the Bible and read this summer. Another one is you could read right before you go to bed. All right, you know you're going to go to bed. Everything in the day is completely done. I would say don't do it while you're lying down. Do it while you're up, but at least there's something there. There's a time, or you can look at it and say, hey, I know in my day I have a break right here. I'm going to set a reminder on my phone, and you just have to make that commitment that nothing's going to get in the way of that. I'm going to take some time, and I'm going to read, and that's when I'm going to do it, okay? But it takes that. You got to think through. And it might be different on different days. Some days you got to wake up really early. All right? Some days you have something early. So you might look at different times, but take it a week at a time. Just take this next week. You can go through the reading plan. If you're doing the reading plan, you can write on the top, you know, when you're planning to, or you can use that calendar for each day. So a consistent time, and I'd also say a consistent place. You know, a consistent place. Already have your Bible set up there, so you're not like, where'd my I got 20 minutes to read. I can't find my Bible. Now I got 10 minutes to read. Oh, where's my reading plan? Go ahead and set it out the night before. Wherever it is, find a consistent place. Be at a quiet place. Somewhere where you're not distracted. Somewhere where you can focus. And then I would challenge you to have a consistent study. A consistent study. Now, obviously, I would love it if you would do the youth reading plan. And you can do that at different levels. You can just read the chapter for that day. So every day you know you've got something. I'm just going to read that chapter for that day. But then you can take it to the next level. You can say, well, I'm going to read the chapter and I'm going to answer the questions. That's going to help me kind of learn it a little bit more. All right. But I know some of you are doing things with your family or you have other stuff that you're doing. A lot of times when people say, oh, I don't do the reading plan, that means don't hold me accountable. I'm just going to go off. But I know that there are genuinely times that you have other things that you're going through. There's a couple of different ways. All right. You could take an approach to read large chunks. So when John MacArthur is teaching this lesson, he talks about like the book of 1 John. And he says a way to know 1 John is just read it that day. And you're like, but that's 5 chapters. Okay? That's like keeping the devil and all the demons away. It really won't take you that long. I mean, it is. But I'm just saying, here's an example. And then the next day, he said to read the whole book of 1 John. All right? And then maybe you do that for a week. And you can see the benefit of it is like, you know, there are letters that are written, especially the New Testament epistles, there are letters. You wouldn't get an email and just read part of it. Well, you probably would get an email and read none of it. It's kind of the way I skim. Give me outline, bulleted points. All right. I know I write these big, long emails and everyone reads every word. I'm so proud of them. But other people, their emails aren't as exciting as mine. All right. But you get the whole thing. Okay. That's just an example. That's just something I'm saying. You can see the benefit of doing that, okay? Read large chunks. I had a youth leader when I was in the youth group, and he said, Justin, let's read the whole Bible for the summer. Let's do it. Let's just chart it out. And it was a lot easier for me to accomplish that than him because he had work. I just could lay around all day and read, all right? But he was struggling with it, and I'm like, but you have a job. Like, don't set unrealistic expectations because you fail and you're like, oh, well, no, just you don't have to read the whole Bible in 3 months. You don't have to read it all in a year. But if you want to set that goal and read the Bible in a year, that's awesome. Large chunks, book at a time, reading the same book. You could do a read through the Bible in a year if you want to. You could do smaller portions. You can say, man, it's really cool how Pastor Tom gets to teach like 2 verses a Sunday. If you want to, you could take 2 verses that day and you could study the grammar and you can meditate on it and you could write it out and you can block diagram it. That'll feed your soul. That's a good thing to do. Now, when you do that, you miss larger chunks of what else is going on. So I would say kind of mix it up. I have the benefit of, you know, I'm doing the reading plan, but then I have my own study time. So that I get to kind of like dig in a little bit deeper. We try to throw that in every Wednesday for you guys. So you get a little bit of a taste of that and what that looks like. You can do a reading plan with others, whether it's your family, maybe it's your friends. Let's hold each other accountable. All right. Now it's really easy. You can have a text group with those and say, hey, who wants to read through this book together? And then text, hey, did you read? No. We'll go do it. And really help each other establish those patterns. You know, as you grow, it's harder to add on new patterns in your life. You know, the old dogs, hard to teach them new tricks and stuff like that. You're the young dog right now. Not that you're a dog, unless you like dogs, then you're a dog. But if you start those things and those disciplines now, all right, when you get a job and Lord willing, when you get kids and all of that stuff, you don't get more time added to your day. There's less time, so you have to do those things. So read it. So hear it, read it, and then we're going to say study it. Okay, study it. And you're like, well, isn't that reading it? Well, yes, it starts with reading it. You can't study it without reading it. I mean, I guess you could listen to it. You could put it on in your car while you're driving around and you can listen to it. Acts 17:11, where we see this inscription, scripture, you have the Bereans. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so? Uh-huh. Yeah, sure, Paul. Sure. Oh, he's right. Oh, wait, I don't know. Oh, he's right. Dude, just eating it up, studying it. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. Diligent. What are you diligent in? Methodical, devoted to. It's not just I'm plowing through this chapter. I'm reading. And we try to help you with the reading plan. Some of the things to ask is, when I read this chapter, what do I learn about God? Are there any characteristics, any attributes that stand out? When I read this chapter, are there any things about my life I need to change? Are there any things I need to apply? When I read this chapter, are there any commands written in here? When I read this chapter, can I take this info, this content, and encourage anybody else with it? When I read this chapter, is there anything in here that I can take and I can steal and use for my prayer life? So we're reading it with an intended, all right, purpose of knowing it more, not just in one eye and out the other, to really internalize it, to be diligent. Can you honestly say that you're a workman when it comes to God's word? When we even talk about hearing it, some of you are sitting there and you're enduring it. Others are locked in, all right? And I'm not saying we're the most interesting people always. We don't have to be. The word of God is interesting. The word of God is powerful. But then there are those that, you know, they're taking the notes so they can go back to it. And what I've learned is people learn in different ways. All right, I've told you before, I've had someone that doodled the entire lesson. And then I walked up to him and he could tell me my entire outline from his drawing. Now, I'm not saying that excuse to draw. That's kind of a rare thing. That's how his mind worked. That's how he processed, okay? So you don't have to all be right in every outline point. But that's great if you are. But are you internalizing, and are you thinking about it? Are you being a workman right now? Are you being a workman? And then tomorrow, when you open up the Bible, are you coming at this, well, this is something that I have to do, something that I get to do. I'm going to work at this. Because whatever you put into the Bible, that's what you're what? It's what you're going to get out of the Bible. And no one ever puts in the work and goes, that wasn't worth it. No, it's rich and it's beautiful. How can you do this? Take your plan and add to it more than just reading, all right? Add to it more than just reading. I like to ask you to write down your favorite verse. When I see something, all right, and when I write it, I tend to internalize it a little bit more. First of all, I reread the chapter and I'm like, that one. And then when I write it down, all right, so I read it, but then maybe I answer those questions to the reading plan or whatever it is you guys are doing, or you're looking up some of the words that you might not understand, or you're trying to think of, you know, what is the theme, what's being communicated. You got to study it. And you all have different study methods, okay? But don't treat this as the bad class. The class that if you could just push the exit button and never go to it again, don't treat it like this one. Treat it like this is your favorite one, but you're hanging on. Well, maybe you have a class like this. You're hanging on the teacher's every word. And you're going for the extra credit gold assignment. And you're working super hard. And that's what studying is. Fourth, memorize it. Memorize it. You say, well, where do we see this in Scripture? Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? But by keeping it according to your word. And you're like, well, what does that have to do with memorization? Well, if you don't know it, you can't follow it. So there are aspects where we're talking about, when we talk about memorize, we are talking about literally the words. But there's also the concepts that are there. You might not be able to tell me which commandment is the seventh commandment. All right, you might not be able to tell me which one the third one is. That's helpful info. But can you tell me those commandments? There's different levels, and we're better at memorizing, or we're not as good as memorizing as other people, okay? The themes of the books and stuff like that. Memorizing that, having that content handy, helps us and it guides us. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have what? Treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, treasure doesn't mean memorize, because someone will use and say, that's why you should memorize. Well, no, treasure is I value it. It's treasure to me. Okay. Well, you want to know it. You want to understand it. I mean, how much money, if you ask your mom or your dad, how much money is in the bank account? They don't, well, you know, maybe this. No, they kind of know it. You got to treasure it. And if you treasure it, then you want to be able to recall it to mind. And you think of when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and how he could quote scripture to combat it. It's the same thing when we're faced with sin in our life. It's not that we take a verse and rub it on something and the temptation goes away. But it needs to call to mind. Like he who steals must steal no longer, but instead what? Working with their hands so that they may provide for those who are in need. Oh, okay. So it's not just I shouldn't steal that. I should be doing the opposite. I should be working hard because there's other people that need stuff and I need to help them. But if I don't have those concepts and those things in my mind, then it's not going to call to mind. And when it comes to our memorization, how to do this, our memorization plan, we've tried to look at it and say, what are the key things that you need from a theological standpoint? What are the key things you need for sharing the gospel? What are some things you need to put off sin and put on righteousness? And some of you, you just don't care. You don't care. I'm not looking for you to dominate the cornhole game. It's fun if you do. But I'm looking for you to say, man, I'm just really struggling with joy right now. You know what? I'm going to go to the book of Philippians. Because I know that it's about joy. I'm going to read that book. That's how you use the book memorization. You know, I'm really struggling with holiness. Let me go spend some time in Leviticus and let's see how precise the worship of Yahweh was to be. And let me see the real life consequences for disobeying him. That's how it should be. We have our memorization plan. You have verses that stand out on a daily basis that you can spend some time. You have this young mind that's all spongy. And you can fill it full of these verses. You can go back and memorize the parts of James that you missed. You can use the Quizlet to quiz yourself. But I know it takes work and it takes time and it takes effort, even in your book. Every section has a memory verse. Be good to go through it. Be good to know it. Fifthly, our last one, meditate on it. Meditate on it. Well, where do we see that in Scripture? Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Well, what does this mean? It means thoughtful contemplation. I'm gonna use an illustration that totally you're not going to be able to relate to, but I want you to use your imagination on this. So let's say that there is, you know, girls, there's a guy that you like. Or guys, there's a girl that you like, and you're sitting there and you're just thinking about them and how wonderful they are and how they walk on water or how they have little squirrels following them and birds chirping behind them as they walk through the woods and, you know, how enjoyable they are and all of the positive things. And you have that Wolverine meme when he's laying on the bed and he's got a picture of Jean Grey or whatever it is or something like that. Okay, you know what it means to meditate on. And you know that there's some dangers in that, right? If you hyper-focus on someone, you can create unrealistic expectations. That's another lesson for another day. But if you're dreaming, oh, 2 Timothy 4:2. Oh, That one's never going to betray you. Okay? That one's always going to reciprocate that love. Just what it is. Psalm 119, 97. This is the passage when I talked to Rocky about I wanted to be a youth pastor. I was a junior and finishing my junior year of high school. And he said, I want you to memorize this. This is what it's about. This is what life is about. This is what ministry is about. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. Do you see why as a young person he wanted this to be ingrained in my mind? I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Why do I hate sin? It's because I understand the goodness of God. And I understand the consequences. I understand the blessings of obedience so that I hate the false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I should be thinking about it. Letting those truths roll around in my mind. Not just reading it and forgetting about it. How do I do this? Again, I'll go back to answering the questions in the reading plan. All right, we don't just pick those by, we need one, throw one in there. We try to be deliberate with it. You can come up with your own question. If you're like, oh, I don't like this question, take it up with Dan Ham, all right? Or me. You can write your own question. Pick verses that sit out to you and write them down. Pray through scripture. And you're like, ooh, I always have trouble praying. So you could take this and say, God, help me to always love your law. Lord, it needs to be my meditation all the day. Too often I think of the bad, yucky stuff, and I want to think about you. Help this to be my meditation all the day. Because your commandments, God, they make me wiser than my enemies. But your commandments are ever mine. And you're just taking scripture. And you're meditating on it as you're reading it. You're like, yeah, but I would have to pray with my eyes open. That's okay. It's okay. As long as you're not being distracted. Talk about it with others, what you read and what you learned. I mean, I think you have friends. Most of you, right? If you don't, this is a good way to make a friend. Hold each other accountable. What are you reading? How are you growing? What are you learning? You can even talk with your parents if you want to. Just don't get crazy now. But as we conclude, you guys have been great. Appreciate it. I want you to ask yourself, why should you want to know it? Why should you want to know it? These are the answers to eternal life. You want to know how to deal with persecution? It's right here. You want to know with sin welling up in your own heart, like coveting and jealousness and anger? It's right here. You want to know when someone is mean to you, what to do? When someone ghosts you, what to do? When someone doesn't treat you how you should be treated? You come right here. Everything you need to know. God, what should I do? What should I not do? It's right here. Secondly, I want you to think through this question of, is there something worldly that you think you want to know more about? And how would you go about it? Let's say you wanted to be the greatest pickleball player of all time. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Okay. You would probably watch like YouTube clips and study the pickleball greats. And you'd go out and you would get a pickleball racket. And you would practice the pickleball, all right? And you would have a pursuit to that. Well, this should be your pursuit. You should want to know this. You should want to grow in this. This should be your meditation. So you got to open it up. You got to read it. I'd encourage you, if you don't have a good study Bible, not saying you have to, the MacArthur Study Bible is a really good one. And so sometimes there's things that I'm like, ooh, what's that about? And not saying that it's gospel truth, but you can go and you can read the comments down below. Very helpful things, all right? Ezra, in Ezra 7:10, set his heart to study the law of the Lord. And then he practiced it. And then he taught it. He took care of his own walk with God so that he could help other people. And that's where we should all be at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is a treasure and a jewel to be able to read your word. Your word, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Through your word, we know about you and we know what you want. And I pray, Father, that we would all put off laziness, we would all put off selfishness, we would all put off the distractions that this world has to offer, and we would come to the sweet fruit of your word, and that we would grow in it in respect to our salvation. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this time. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.